you?
In the basement.
We don't have a...
We have a basement? Did she tell you we had a basement?
What do you think that button does?
Don't press the button if you don't know what it does. Don't touch that!
Why not?
You don't know how powerful it is. You don't know what it does, or how to make it work.
I just pull this trigger, don't I?
Pew, 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 pew. Oh, shit! For sake, Roger! Put that away. For God's sake.
You're no fun.
No, indeed. I am no fun at all.
Oh, someone's in a mood.
Everybody to Ladies of Leet. This is episode 158, and this is the podcast where we talk all things video games. I'm Nicole.
I'm Kim.
I am Stephanie.
And this week, or this month, we're going to talk about We Happy Few, which was the clip you just heard. I'm always curious which clips Stephanie's going to pull for us. We're going to talk about The Plague Tale. Innocence. I don't really get that, but whatever. Little Dragon Cafe. Fallout 4. That's going to be Far Cry 4. I always do that. Far Cry 4. We Happy Few. Borderlands 2. The Handsome Collection. Days Gone. Get an update on Days Gone. This episode... I'm just going to title it, Stephanie Took One for the Team.
Yes. She's our hero. She's our hero.
So, the last time you heard from us, we were talking about Days Gone and just kind of unsure about it. So we have been chatting on text messages, and Stephanie has been giving us updates as she's been wanting. And for every update, I go... Yeah, maybe I won't.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, maybe Stephanie will have something redeeming to really say about it. Nope, it didn't come. Yep. So
no. And it's so funny, Stephanie, because my husband always wants to hear your opinions on games as well. So he was playing, I think, Days Gone, but I think after he heard your thoughts on it, he's like,
right.
So you took one for the team and you finished Days Gone because in the hopes that there would be some redeeming quality. It sounds like it just got worse as you were telling us about it.
Yeah, it essentially went off the rails. Like, so you guys started it, and you obviously know the background scenario, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a drifter with his friends, with a motorbike, and they stop at these different camps, and they help them out. What would you say the overarching mission would be?
I didn't know what, because the way that they presented it, I didn't know if it was his wife or his sister. Mm-hmm. At the beginning, they don't really frame that properly,
right? Yeah, so it's just the wedding.
So yeah, I thought it was more about revenge on his wife or something like that. Yeah,
I didn't really know. I just figured he sent his lady off into the helicopter and
old lady. Oh, that's biker lingo. Old lady.
Yeah.
And I just assumed, because I can't remember why I assumed she died, because I think somebody was like, oh, you can't beat yourself up over it or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just assumed she died. So when you told me she didn't, I was like, huh? How? Yeah. What?
Right. So that was the scenario that he's been living under, is that he put her on the helicopter so that she would go to a military base to get treated. And that copter crashed or he assumed it did. But it turns out they never actually landed at that particular base. They went to a different base. So she didn't die in the crash, but he's been thinking she's dead for the past almost 3 years now.
Why did he assume she had crashed and died? Did it tell you that, or was that just an assumption you made?
So when he put her on the copter, he asked the guy, O'Brien, asked the guy, where are you going to? He gave him the name of the base that they were headed to. So he went there to that base and saw it was completely overridden with several crashed helicopters and assumed that she was,
that she was part of them.
Yeah.
Since that's where she was supposed to go, she must be dead. But no, as it turns out, spoiler, she is not dead.
Spoiler.
So
you say spoiler like someone's actually going to play the game.
Right. Like you're going to play it twice? I don't think so either. There's no way I'm playing this again. But like I said before, the game is basically broken up into these camps that you deal with. And at one point, it triggers a story mode where it says you can't go back up north. You have to stay south and deal with this scenario. So at this point, I thought, okay, we're going to handle these hordes of undead or zombies or whatever you want to call them, freaks, that's what they called them, and we're going to wipe them out, because that's one of the storylines was that we're going to do this thing and it's going to lessen their numbers. Nope, the story just went completely off the rails, and we are now dealing with a crazy dude who's running one of the camps, and that's how the story goes. And
so it's like, it sounds like it went like Walking Dead route,
right? Exactly. Like we've completely lost focus of what is the main story and what are we trying to accomplish. And yeah, the ending was very unsatisfying for me, and I hate the wife. I hate her like so bad. I was,
but
like,
I don't think there were any sympathetic characters in that I ran into.
Right. I mean, obviously Deacon St. John is meant to be your, you know, protagonist. I wouldn't say hero. Protagonist is more accurate. But yeah, there was nobody who was out and out good.
No.
I mean, did the gameplay save it, or did it get repetitive?
No. So I had described that the hordes that you run across are massive. They are not small. And I was skipping them. I was not fighting them. And then they force you to fight them. There is an achievement for getting rid of all of them, but obviously I didn't do that. But I wiped out two hordes, and this is no lie. One of them was 363, and the other one was 358.
Was it fun doing that? I mean, because sometimes it's satisfying, you know, killing mobs and mobs and mobs. But if it's not satisfying, what's the point of the game?
I was like, my heart was racing the whole time, but only because I was waiting for myself to screw up. And run out of ammo and run out of all the little tricks. So that's the thing, is that once they get on your scent, they will chase you forever until you can outpace them. So you just essentially have to run like an obstacle course or a gauntlet to wipe them out. And it's over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, because the things that you're using are only going to take out maybe 8 or 10 at a time. And like I said, you have 350 to deal with. So that got super repetitive to me, and I was not a fan of that. I mean,
just seemed kind of like a boring game that didn't have much depth.
By the end, it was a grind just to get through the story, because I just wanted to see how the story was going to end, and then it was terribly unsatisfying to me. To me personally, it was very unsatisfying because I had like no resolution.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that.
So what happened? I don't care. Just tell me what happened.
Yeah, I am never going to play this game again, ever.
So here's why I didn't like the wife. So he finds her working in the medical lab for this camp that's in the middle of a lake. So it's essentially like a fortress. And the guy who's running this camp is a complete military nut job. He thinks it's like he's like a warrior for God, and he's, you know, he's going to wipe them all out and blah, 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 blah. So when the wife finds out that he is alive, I'm expecting some kind of reunion, some kind of, oh my God, you're still alive? No.
Yeah.
Zero.
Really?
Nothing. Zero. She looks at him, she goes, huh. And then that's
really
it.
Oh my God.
And I have to wait like 10 minutes for them to have another meeting in the story. And all she does is just keep sending him out on missions to get supplies.
She didn't kiss him or anything?
No!
Wow.
When they finally get a resolution, she's like, when they finally get a meeting, she's like, I thought you were dead. He's like, I thought you were dead. And then he's like, let's get out of here. And she goes, I can't. Boom. And then I have to wait another 15, 20 minutes for another story for them to go talk to each other. And I'm like, you are driving me crazy.
It just sounds like really bad writing. You know,
I mean, to her quote unquote grave. How many times? 4 or 5 times, you know, talking to her because he's obviously missing her and he's feeling all this guilt. And I'm like, she must be feeling this too. No, she's so dedicated to her mission because she's a scientist. That, you know, that's all she sees. She's like, I can't leave with you. I can't. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
Is she trying to find a cure for the freaks?
She is. She's trying to turn them back. Now, that's the interesting part is this military camp guy has two competing scientists. One wants to blow them up with napalm. I'm all for that. And then she wants to be all, oh, I have to cure them. I'm like, I don't care.
What?
But obviously my character says, oh yeah, you should totally do that. I'll stay with you. And I'm like, what? So, yeah. So eventually they defeat the military leader and they ride off into the sunset together. All the hordes are still there. They have defeated nothing. They have defeated nothing. They
it's
just
all still there.
Run off together.
So they basically prepped it for Days Gone 2.
Exactly.
Oh, like,
more horde.
And they left Boozer. They left him. And
what happened to Boozer?
He died.
I don't even care. I mean, like that's the thing. If they were like,
that was the trick, right? He died, but oh no, he didn't. He died like he was supposed to have a hero's death, ramming a truck full of explosives through the gate to get into the camp. Nope, he wasn't dead. So they just left him. They left him. I was like, what?
Which is what they should have done in the first place on the stupid helicopter. They would have avoided that whole mess.
Exactly. All of it. Boomer would have never lost his arm. And,
oh my gosh.
It was, you know, I thought like, because the whole first half, they were all into the following those Nero techs and, you know, what do they know about the freaks? And ooh, maybe we can figure this out. And then of course, at the end, she finds out it's the lab she was working at that's responsible for it. But you don't really find out why. It was just some rogue scientist decided to release their virus on his own. And then it was, again, no resolution whatsoever. We're just, meh, let's just get on our motorcycles, honey, and go right off. Why? Why would you do that to me? I suffered through all that for nothing. Nothing.
Interesting.
So there you go. I took that one for the team. But I took the other
honestly,
one for the team as well.
Well, okay, sort of. I mean, the next one.
We were trying to figure out, since there's really kind of a lull in the game cycle right now, we're like, I started searching around on, I think it was Amazon, and there was a game that caught my eye, and it's called The Sinking City. Mm-hmm. And I was like, ooh, that looks good. Dang it, it doesn't come out till June 25th.
Yes.
So I was kind of in that ballpark, and Amazon does do a pretty good job in linking you to other games. So right. Two of the games that came up after that were A Plague Tale and then A Tale of what is it?
Call of Cthulhu.
Call of Cthulhu. I'm like,
yes, Call of Cthulhu.
I do that all the time too. It's like
So on if you bought it through Amazon, the Call of Cthulhu was only $28.
Yes. Yes.
Versus if you buy it through PSN, it's $59. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll pick that up.
Yeah.
And then I just went ahead and bought A Plague Tale directly on download.
Right.
But as I was looking around, I noticed PlayStation was having a huge sale. It was like up to 60% off. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, Katie, who might be listening, she recommended a game called Little Dragon Cafe. It was only on the Switch at the time. Mm. And it's on the PS4 now. And it was 60% off. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to get that.
That's crazy, because I just checked, and it is full price.
Yeah, it's like $59.
Yeah, which is,
well, I got 60% off.
Yeah, because I was going to get it for the Switch, and I was like, ooh, that's expensive.
Well, that's what I told you. I'm like, get it now, get it now, it's on sale. And I think
But I wanted it for the Switch.
Right.
Oh, you wanted it for the Switch. Yeah. Okay.
You should hit me up. I'll buy it off of Best Buy for you.
Okay, I'll do that. Because it looks really cute.
It is adorable. And in fact, I couldn't switch from Little Dragon Cafe to the Plague Tale at all. I'm like, I started Little Dragon Cafe, and I'm like, I'm all in. Because basically the premise is you pick one of two characters, your twins, brother and sister. So, of course, I picked the sister. And your mother runs a cafe, and she falls ill. And you're not sure why, but before she falls ill, she teaches you how to make over easy eggs.
Oh, that's adorable.
And as you're making it, so you've got to have the right ingredients, and you collect ingredients from around. So you go into like adventure mode, which is the Zelda vibe that I got from the game, because you're running around and you're collecting and you're jumping and you're not fighting really anything, but maybe I'll get to that later, because there are some enemies that I need to avoid, because if I don't, they take my recipes from me. So you go around, you collect fragments of recipes and you build recipes. So like I said, the first one you get is the over easy eggs, and to cook it, it's button timing. So it reminds me of Parappa Rappa.
Oh, okay.
So you got to time, like right arrow, up arrow, down, side arrow. And it's all about timing. And if you hit it just right, you'll get an excellent, excellent, excellent. And so you can get 5 stars, and you make better, and you can mix your ingredients, and it's adorable.
So it's like the Guitar Hero of cooking.
Exactly what it is. And then once you've mastered your recipes and you've put it on the menu, then you start getting customers.
Sure.
And these customers, you can take their orders, but you also have a staff. You have a staff of 3. So you have to keep encouraging them. Actually, right. You have a staff of 4, because you have your brother, two others that come in, and then the chef. And so you're trying to maintain like your staff being happy, your customers being happy.
Right.
Certain customers want certain things. And so, and then you're collecting recipes because you're running it because the cook's still cooking. So, and then to top it all off, you have this cute little dragon pet that you have to make sure is always fed.
Is he like the bad cooking or the leftovers?
And he leaves you dragon poop.
Oh, my
to
Lord.
Make sure that you can make your plants, all your ingredients grow faster.
So that's like the fertilizer is his dragon poop. Oh, that's so cute.
So the dragon is actually supposed to help you eventually cure your mother. So your mother is sick. She is half dragon. So,
okay, wait a minute. That's Barry the lead right there. Wait, what?
Yeah. So there's like, it's so cute, and I really do like it. But the day goes by super fast. So I'm like, you want to make sure you kind of monitor when your customers are coming in. Because if you're out exploring and getting ingredients, then it is quite possible that your staff will slack, not take the orders, and your rankings will go down.
Ah.
And there's a whole story progress that's moving forward too, that you're making sure, because the end result is you need to make sure this dragon grows up so it can help you save your mom. So right. That's kind of the bigger picture. So what I'll say about Little Dragon Cafe is I don't feel like it's a $60 game.
No.
So when it does go on sale, that's when I would grab it.
Yeah.
And because it's adorable and it's cute and it's hitting all those little, collector buttons that,
right.
And then because you could, it's cute because when you go out to explore the different areas, they have like people blocking your path. They're like, I gotta clear this walkway. You can't go here yet. So, but eventually there is some nice things, because the further you go out, I'm like, dang, I'm going pretty far from the cafe. How am I going to get back in time? You just hit the down button and it takes you right back to the cafe.
Oh,
so if
nice.
It's, you know, if it's noon and you're out really far getting ingredients, you want to be in the cafe, because right. the people you have working for you are a bunch of slackers. And you gotta make sure, like, one guy, he plays a guitar and he's like, oh, I'm just, oh, you caught me, man. I'm like, man, get out of here. And then,
nice.
And so
I guess it
build...
teaches a good work ethic to
yeah.
kids.
Yeah. Don't slack out in the kitchen.
It will let you know when you're running out of ingredients. Down mm-hmm. at the bottom, a little thing will come up. It will also tell you when your customers are not really happy. So you want to make sure you're looking at your menu, because people are giving you like Yelp reviews.
Oh, right, right.
That's really like, cool.
Yeah. So it's a cute game, but $20-$30 most.
So does it feel frantic? Like, you know, some like time management games, or is it more relaxed?
Kind I feel of more relaxed checking. In it. I okay. definitely don't feel the level of Diner Dash, because here's the thing. You can take orders. You can clean up if you want to. Mm. That, I think, makes your employees happier when you right. get involved. But you can also just kind of stand back and watch everybody and keep talking to them and say how wonderful they are. You know? If you do talk to your customers, you want to talk to everybody all the time, because mm. they will give you ingredients and they will give you recipe fragments.
Oh.
And nice. So the more recipes you have, you're learning to cook, and then you're feeding, it's kind of nice, because you're making these recipes to get them on your roster, your menu, but then you're just feeding the little dragon the recipes. So
right.
It's cute. I thought it was adorable. I would recommend it. But again, on sale.
On sale.
Or, I mean, if you have a kid that, you know, if you're looking for a very kid-friendly game, this is way kid-friendly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Unlike cute. The other game we played.
Yes! So the Plague Tale came across my Amazon feed, and I was like, hey, what about this one? And then I watched the preview. I was like, ooh. I don't know. Oh, maybe not. I don't know. So, of course, I didn't play this, but Kim and Stephanie, you played it. And in fact, yes. Stephanie, you finished it.
I did.
I cannot believe you finished it.
I can't either. Oh, my God. I had to take a break yes. from it. It was, I mean, it literally, my stomach was starting to get kind of churny. Like, you know, yeah. I was getting kind of nauseous. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
rats. If you don't like rats, do not play this
yeah.
game.
Oh. And like I said, it only gets oh, worse. It yeah. gets much worse later on.
Oh. Well, so I got to episode 7.
Okay. Yeah, so it gets worse from that.
I'm in 7 right now.
Okay.
And I think there's 16?
Yes. 16 episodes?
So yeah. There's technically 17, but the 17th chapter is really just an epilogue that you don't really okay. do anything in. So okay. there's solid 16 chapters.
So is this during the actual plague time frame? Is there like some real history in it, or is it all made up kind of stuff?
So the time frame is the year 1348 and 1349. So that is smack dab in what would have been the plague season in yeah. in Europe. But that plague is nothing like this plague. This plague is not based on history and is not natural
okay.
at all.
So it's not like it's the fleas on the rats
no,
that
no,
make it the is, plague.
It is entirely supernatural, which is one of my gripes with the game, is that they don't really explain what the heck is going on, why it's happening, and what happens at the end. And they really, really don't explain that. That's one of my gripes.
Oh, because see, that's why one of the reasons I was like, okay, I want to keep playing it, because I want to yeah. find out why, and I want
right.
to, you know, get a good resolution at the end. And, you know, I'm thinking, why is this kid sick, and why is
exactly.
this happening? And I mean, there's lots of questions that are out there. So
that
I was
is
like,
correct. You will still have those questions at the end.
Man, that sucks. Now it's like, now I don't even know if I want to finish it. I mean,
right.
I've actually enjoyed the game mechanics. It kind of felt like a the Nathan
Uncharted.
It kind of felt a little Uncharted, because it's got the puzzles and stuff. And the puzzles were kind of fun to figure out.
Right.
And I liked that. I didn't. And I thought that the writing and the actors were good in it.
Yes.
It's just there's so many rats and dead people and stinky things. And
I mean, we're talking half dead, chewed up people. We're talking animals exploding, animals getting devoured. And that was, you know, the... Literally every main character in this story is a child. We're talking under the age of 15. The youngest is 5.
I'm
tacking the oldest at 15, maybe 16, pushing it.
So who, the maybe, girl that's trying to save the boy,
she's 10.
She's 10?
Yes, they say that right in the opening
right
scene.
At the beginning, yeah.
Yes.
Then who, so in the trailer, there's that guy who's like, she's doing her mission and I'm doing mine. Like, what is his role in it?
I didn't see the trailer. Who is that talking? Who's that talking?
I don't know. I don't know who that would be.
So the main story is you're following Amicia, rhyming with emaciated. What I'm saying in my head is I'm emaciated.
Yeah.
Because Amicia just really doesn't roll off the tongue.
It doesn't. And like, it's hard to understand when they're saying it. Amicia. And you're like, what?
So she's out hunting with her father. Her father is a knight. And tragically, as Kim mentioned in her Twitter feed, her dog is attacked and killed by rats.
Okay, that's a spoiler, but it's like within
that's
the first
like
5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. That's right in the middle.
Damn
so
it.
When they run back to town, or their home, they find that the Inquisition is here. And the Inquisition is after her brother. Now, there's an interesting backstory where she resents her brother and her mother. And once again, I was not feeling very sympathetic to the mother. Because Amicia says... how long has he been locked up? So her brother has been locked up for the entire 5 years of his existence. And she rarely sees her mother at all because her mother is with the son. And I'm like, wow, way to breed some resentment there for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Inquisition comes, she escapes with Hugo, her brother. And they're on the run looking for help from various people. And that's where they run across more. It's never adults. It's always more kids that help them. So the main question is, why is Hugo sick? Why does the Inquisition want him? Why is this plague here? Why is it so, so bad when it's not, it's not like a normal plague. It is, and these rats.
It's not a normal plague. It's a.
These rats are very different. They're very different.
Yeah, they're like they're possessed, kind of.
Right. And the rats work like fluid. They work like a liquid. So when you think of the puzzles like that, like I'm trying to get a liquid from this side to that side, that's how you can navigate them. And like Kim said, the puzzles aren't particularly hard, but sometimes the mechanics of them make it difficult. I ran across several that really irritated me. And hands down, I can tell you the worst part for me was at the end when you actually control the rats. Hated every second of it. Hated it. And I wanted it to just be done. I was like, please, please let me get past this because I really don't. But of course, in the end boss fight, you're pretty much all of your skills are put to use.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to do the rats again. I'm like, I really, really don't like this. But yeah, it is not for children in the slightest because the graphics, the sound effects, and the things that these children do.
Well,
are
it doesn't even
not
sound like
it
should be for adults either because I have a hard time when they put kids in peril.
Right.
And the kids, I mean, honestly, the kids were like pretty robust and resilient.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I didn't feel bad for the kids, really. I don't know why. I did for the little boy just a little bit because he had to see things that, you know, probably they were really bad, like the pig and stuff. The pig just pissed me off.
Right. They have to sacrifice the pig to get into the barn.
These are spoilers, but who cares? You guys, you know.
This is part of the story, so yeah.
It is funny because I never heard of this game.
Right.
I mean, is there like, did it do well? I don't get the impression that it did very well.
It is rated very well. People really, really, really enjoy it. Like 8, 8.5.
Well, like I say, in the mechanics really like of it are good. I mean, the playthrough, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed, you know, doing the missions, and I, and there's really no missions. You're just
right.
going, there's, you know, it's just one.
There's a ton
story.
Of sneaking, which I enjoy. I enjoy sneaking.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
And I liked the throwing stuff and crafting, you know, explosives and what mm-hmm. have you. But yeah,
and even the small amount of combat you had to do was, you know, pretty, you know, it was a good feeling. So if there weren't as much gross stuff in it, it would have been a lot better.
Right. Like it at its heart, now that I finished it, this is a horror game. There there are no jump scares, but it is a horror game. It is it's the rats are a horror. The main villains are clearly horrors. And you know, what the kids go through. I mean, they're going to need some serious therapy. But because Amicia in particular is taking out men with rats. Like, she's deliberately sicking rats on them.
Ew.
And, you know, as a weapon.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you make that choice and you deal with it and you move on. You're
so
like,
she gets the power to control the rats? That's kind of crazy.
No, it's Hugo. It's Hugo.
Oh. Yeah, it's the little boy.
Yeah. But when she's holding his hand, as she does 90% of the time, she can control that power.
which actually kind of freaked me out, because when you move her as a character,
yes,
he doesn't move very well along with mm-mm. you. It's literally like he's got a bar between her and him.
Right.
And you're moving and he's moving along with that bar.
Right.
So that was not very fluid, and that felt weird.
Turning and backing up were not very fluid all. And it felt very like this is clearly a very linear game. There is a specific path you are meant to take, and wandering off will do you no good, because you're not meant to there are some collectibles and what have you that you can explore off onto the side, but for the most part you're just moving from point A to point B, collecting the stuff that you can see, you know, solving the puzzles, and that's it. When the game first started, I thought it was very, like, graphics wise, I thought it was very similar to Kingdom Come Deliverance, that game that I played earlier. But then it quickly showed me that no, that's not what this is. There is no actual combat per se. It's all sneaky, which I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I'm watching some gameplay right now, and there's like a wheel that you pick, and you can pick a rock and throw it and hit a guard.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So
that's like the distraction type methods that you do for sneaking. So you distract the guard, sneak around.
I'm watching her hit the guard in the head.
Oh, yeah.
If he's not wearing a helmet, she can knock guys out with a rock.
And she has a slingshot as her weapon. And then you can craft and improve the weapons or improve your pockets or you know, other little things like
that. But if they get up close to her, it's game over. There is no melee. It is, she has to avoid them and hit them from a distance. She has no melee whatsoever.
But if they do see you and then you go hide, they'll only go to the point that they last saw you. So if you can sneak away, you can get away. So it had some really good game mechanics. And I thought the way they actually animated the rats was very cool.
Right.
If they were anything but rats, eating everything and in their paths. And I mean, and then when you get eaten, it's disgusting. It is so gross when you die.
Yeah,
because
if you get it wrong, they will just swarm you.
Oh, I mean, and literally.
Unlike the Lara Croft deaths.
Oh, right?
It's gross. Like, so, yeah, I mean, it was a good game. But I think it was just gross. I think, and if it would have probably had a better ending to the story.
Correct.
GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10. Screen Rant gave it a 10 out of 10.
Right.
It's not 10 out of 10.
It's not 10. It's
no
not
way.
10.
No way. But I mean,
with the ending, I'm sitting there going, really? I mean, is this again another setup to a sequel?
Or
a follow-up or a DLC or something? Because, there was a whole lot of unanswered questions.
But, I mean, honestly, I didn't mind the game at all. You know, it was...
I enjoyed it.
So,
all I could think about... I have a friend who hates rats, mice, or anything. And she, like, will scream at the top of her lung. I had a little crystal mouse, and she screamed.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine your friend seeing this game?
Yeah, no.
And she screams when she sees Stuart Little.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And this would be torture for her.
Yeah, this would. She would. She would just shut it off and walk away.
She would pass out. She would totally pass out in like fear.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right. So, what else? Oh, Stephanie, you're finishing all your games.
I know.
We Happy Few. You finished.
Yeah, I did.
Did you like the ending?
Again, just to review, there are three characters that you play as in Happy Few. There's Arthur and Sally and Ollie, and you play them in that order. Arthur is he can both craft and do melee. Sally can only craft, and Ollie can only do melee. So that's how you break them down. Okay. So I was very close to Ollie's end story. I didn't realize that, so that's why I finished it so quickly. Once again, each of the stories are their own story. Arthur and Sally's overlap in one spot, but their endings are all their own. The endings don't overlap.
Gotcha.
Ollie's was tragic. Sally's was tragic, although with a happy ending. And Arthur was somewhere in the middle, exactly like his character, in the middle. But overall, this is like my favorite game to play. As many bugs and problems as there are with this game, and there are still a ton. Trust me, there are still a ton. The AI is ridiculously easy. I mean, all you have to do is turn a corner and people just give up and stop chasing you. But at its core, I love the story. I love the graphics. I love the characters. I love Uncle Jack talking to you. Like, mm-hmm. just in the back of your head, constantly telling you, everything's fine. Everything's fine. It doesn't matter that you're starving. Just go eat grass. Boil grass and eat that. It's perfectly fine. There's vitamin C there. Just take your joy and forget and be happy. Mm. And I love that propaganda that they push on people. And then, of course, you have the other people that are pushed out into the garden section because for either by choice or by a physical problem, they can't take joy. So because they don't want to be around people that are downers, they push them out into the garden section where there is no electricity. But that's the only source of pure water that's not tainted with joy. And that's where plants are. So they added, to my great delight, they added to We Happy Few an arcade section, arcade modes. They added a section where you can play as the police, where you just beat bobbies to death. In like minute increments, which is super weird, and it's very short. It's very, if you just want to beat the crud out of somebody, by all means, play this arcade version, because that's exactly all you do, is you just beat people to death as a bobby, as a policeman. But my absolute favorite is the survival mode. That's where you play. You could choose who you want to play with. Obviously, I play as Arthur because he's the most versatile. And they just plop you on a map. They generate a map and they plop you on there. And your goal is to get to a boat to escape. But you have to go through different sections. So you have to find the keys to unlock the gate and then go into the next section. Find the keys to unlock the gate and go into the next section. But you have to survive. And you're starving and dying of thirst right from the get-go.
Oh, wow.
And I absolutely loved that. I played that to death until I was successful. So please, if you enjoy this game, try out the arcade section because it was a ton of fun.
Was the story was satisfying? I mean, even though it sounded like it was a tragic end.
Right.
Was there an overarching like wrap up of the story, or you just got these three stories and this is what it was?
Yeah, you just got these three stories and that was it. Because each one of them, like I said, their endings don't overlap. But each one got an ending to their story.
Does the town get a, cause there's obviously something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Something went on in that town. Does the town get an ending?
So Ollie's ending does put you on the path to an ending, for the town, but you don't get to see that. So there is a DLC that came out and there are two more planned. So there are three DLCs coming. So the first one, it focuses on what you heard at the beginning, which is Roger and James. Those two characters are back with their own DLC called They Came From Below, where they are, if you, I don't know if you've played far enough to know, but they are the assistants for Dr. Faraday.
Okay.
And they're dressed in like sailor suits, like white hats and blue coats, white pants, striped shirts. And they are her assistants. And my favorite backstory of that is the government wanted her, Dr. Faraday, to make things for them. And they thought they secluded her in the house, and they thought, we'll give her male companions to keep her happy. So they gave her Roger and James, not realizing Roger and James are confirmed bachelors. That should be perfect. Yeah, there's a reason they're confirmed bachelors. Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's like my favorite little side info about Roger and James.
Confirmed bachelors.
Yeah. Quote unquote, confirmed bachelors. So yeah, they get their own story when Dr. Faraday disappears. That's their DLC, and it's all about robots, of all things. But it's Roger
robots,
and James.
Robots, really? Moving.
Yes, exactly. So, and it's not the traditional gameplay that you would do in Re-Happy Few, where you're picking up stuff and crafting things. This is, mm-hmm. they give you a ray gun and a melee baton. And those are the two things that you do. But you're just making your way through this story to figure out what is going on with these robots that were underneath there.
So Kim, you started Re-Happy Few.
I did.
Oh,
I started it. And it's so, I mean, I haven't got that far because then I got onto Borderlands. But I started it, and it's a lot of fun. Plus, I love the sneaking part of it, and that is just quirky. I mean, there are some sad parts. There's some really sad parts.
Yeah, it gets sad.
Oh my gosh.
Really sad.
But yes. You kind of have to just, like, turn yourself off to the sad parts. And I really enjoyed it, so I'm looking forward to playing a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't deleted it because I keep meaning to go back to it. and when I'm not playing Little Dragon Cafe, I started playing more Far Cry 4.
Right.
Because I'm still looking for Herc. Like, I found him once, and I'm just trying to because the way that the map works in Far Cry 4 is totally different than 5.
No.
You have to go to these, they're like watchtowers, and you have to climb all the way. I mean, it's like super, super high. Mm-hmm. And you have to disable the propaganda machine.
Sure.
And once you do that, then the area will unlock for you and uncover it from the map.
Oh, that's so, like 3. That's like Far Cry 3.
Is it how it was in 3?
Yeah.
So I'm just going around thinking, maybe if I uncover all the map, eventually I'll see H. Because that's how you find them. You find the letter H on the map, and that's where he is. So I don't even know where I'm at in the story.
You're just playing, right? You're just like, Herc.
Speaking of Herc, he is the actor that plays... does the voice of Herc, mm-hmm. is in a Netflix show that I'm meaning to watch. It's called Bad Blood or is it called Bad Blood?
Yes.
So season 2 of it just came out. Mm-hmm. And I've been meaning, have either of you watched the show yet?
I have not yet.
I just want to see the actor in a different a different way.
Right.
So I'm gonna watch that show on Netflix just to see something different. And then finally, my son and I and my husband, we start playing a board game.
Oh,
so my son is 7, and he's always wanting to play games with the adults. I remember being small and always I always wanted to play Trivial Pursuit for some reason.
Oh,
with the adults.
Right, sure.
And I never knew the answers, but I still wanted to play that.
I still don't know the answers.
So we started, I found like an old classic version of Clue in, I don't know, Sam's Club. It was on clearance. So I'm like, I loved Clue when I was a kid. So we start playing it, and then I realized, we have to find the murderer. So I knew that would like pique his interest because he's like, what? What? Like it's a grown up theme, right? So so we've been playing Clue, and I can't recommend it enough, even though you're hunting for a murderer.
Right.
Because it's that board game, it's actually a lot more fun than I remember it.
Yeah.
So we've been playing a lot of Clue in our house lately.
And I can see that being fun with someone younger because, you know, when you play that game when you're older, you can figure things out pretty quickly. You're like, okay, I know this, you know.
Yeah.
But as a kid, you know, they've taken a different process to
learning the art of elimination. That's what this game teaches.
That's very cool.
So he's really, he's like, I could just see his little brain working. Right? And he's like, all right, Professor Plum in the kitchen with the rope. So it's really, really
You're going to have to show him the movie then, too.
Yes, I love that movie.
Maybe when he gets a little bit older. all right, well, let's, what else we got going on? Oh, new games free on PlayStation Plus. Kim mentioned Borderlands, the Handsome Collection is free. Mm-hmm. So if you've never played Borderlands and you have PlayStation Plus, do yourself a favor and just quote unquote purchase it and put it in your library. Because is this Borderlands 1, 2, and Handsome Jack?
It's 2 and the priest. The prequel.
Prequel.
Yes. Not one. Yeah, the pre-sequel.
It's
not one.
This is great, though, because I loved the prequel, and I loved 2.
As soon as I started playing it, I was like, God, I remember how good this game was. Yes, and I was like, okay. Because I saw it in the store, like, about a month ago, and I was like, you know what? I should just get that because I've got it for the PlayStation 3 and I have it for the PC.
Right.
I don't have the PlayStation 4. So, you know, God forbid I don't have a game on my console, you know. It's like, okay, let's get it. And it's so awesome. So awesome.
And Sonic Mania is also free right now.
Right.
Whatever. I don't know what that one is. I'm guessing it's a racing game.
It's Sonic the Hedgehog. It's Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's Sonic the Hedgehog and his weird teeth.
Like the weird one or the...
Right? No, the classic, not the weird one that they did for the movie. Oh, that's so gross.
A couple of the other games that I did pick up for my son. My son loves a cartoon called Ben 10. Mm-hmm. And so they had... it was like $4. I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll get that. When he's looking at plays on it. And then they had, and I haven't had a chance to play it yet, the Adventure Time game was on sale. I played a little bit of that. Mateo had it on the Switch, and I bought it for myself because I was getting so annoyed at Mateo when he was playing it on the Switch, and all I wanted to do was play it, and he wanted to not... like play it properly.
So I'm like, oh my gosh.
I will get it for myself and play it on my own console.
Nice.
And then 1 year of Nintendo Switch Online with Twitch and your Amazon Prime. Was it? So what is this? Get 1 year of...
Yes. So I discovered this. One of the many, many perks of having an Amazon Prime account, besides getting 2-day shipping, besides getting the streaming movies, is you get Twitch integration. So if you take... So if you integrate your Twitch with your Amazon Prime, then you can go to the link below that we will put in the show notes, where you can get 1 year of Nintendo Online service for free.
What?
Yes.
It's normally
like $20, but so here's how they do it. They give you the first 3 months for free, and then you come back after 3 months and they give you the remaining 9 months for free. They just want you to come back, but they'll give you that first 3 months for free and then just make yourself a little note that I come back in 3 months and they'll give you the remaining 9 months. So you'll get Nintendo Online Service for free.
So what do you get with Nintendo Online Service?
That's how you play online. That's like Splatoon 2 and Mario Kart. That's how you can play online versus other people.
Gotcha.
Just like you need PlayStation Plus to play against other people.
I was thinking maybe would get access to different games, but it's just the online features.
There are free games that you can get, again, with your Twitch account. There are free games, but they are all indie games.
I see those all the time. Because a lot of times I will go on the morning streams on Wednesday, and I'm in the Twitch chat.
Yeah.
And so I have, every month I have a subscription that I can gift to someone. So I always give Scott my gift subscription.
Nice.
So like, I don't know what you're going to get from this, but here you go.
So if you gift them a subscription, they can go to someone's channel, subscribe to that channel, and skip the ads. Plus they get emojis and whatever.
Yeah, yeah. But I think Scott, hopefully he's getting something for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It all depends on who you use it with, you know?
Like, yeah.
So yeah, that's obviously you want to use that free Twitch.
Month.
Yeah, that free thing to skip the ads, because the ads can get super annoying on Twitter.
Yeah,
on
Twitch. It does. All right. Like we said at the top of the show, the game that we were looking at is called The Sinking City, and it comes out on June 25th.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another game that caught Stephanie's eye called Judgment,
mm-hmm,
that's coming out on the same day from the producers of Sleeping Dogs, right?
Yeah, Sleeping Dogs and the Yakuza series. Okay. So it is, again, like a Japanese action type story. But this case, it's a detective. So you'll be searching for clues and then go beat somebody up by punching them in the head. But yeah, you'll be trying to solve mysteries and what have you. Just something to keep on your radar.
Yeah. All right. We have one email. This is from Jay.
Yay!
He says, did any of you ladies try the Conan MMO when it was free on PlayStation 4 in April? Hope all of you lovely ladies keep kicking video game ass.
Yes. Nice.
Kim, if you still live near Dallas, try Campuzio's Dallas on Oaklawn. Fantastic Tex-Mex. Lots of fun on a Friday.
Ooh, nice. All right, I'll have to go down there. Yeah, I live north of that. I live north of Dallas, just barely, you know. But I work in Dallas, so I'll have to go over there.
You go.
Thank you.
Campuzio's. Campuzio's something.
Nice.
I'll text it to you. I did not play Conan. Did you?
No.
I did not, no. But, you know, I mean, I don't like MMOs on the console.
Yeah.
It's harder, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a lot harder. And I just never had a good experience with it.
Is this the game that was infamous for naked people?
Is this the one
with, like...
Yes. Maybe.
Big genitalia, small genitalia. Is that the one?
I'm not sure, but that sounds a little familiar. I wish I was in a time that I could go back to an MMO, but I can't right now. And in fact, somebody asked me, oh, you're going to play the vanilla WoW? I ain't got time for that.
I will.
Totally want to, but then I'm like, God, I'm going to spend all this money again, and I'll play for like 2 months, and that'll be it. And then I'm like, God, I don't want to resub.
So what's the deal with WoW? With the vanilla?
No, actually, I think I still have my WoW subscription.
Right.
Damn it.
I think mine finally did expire.
I think mine's on auto renewal.
mine is too. So I just thought about that. I'm like, oh, I just saw that I renewed to that stupid thing. Damn it.
So what's the deal with the WoW vanilla? Because I saw people were like, oh, I didn't get it, or oh, I didn't check the box, or
so right now you're just signing up for beta. It's not out yet. It's not out yet.
All right.
You're signing up to try the beta, and it's not so they're calling it Classic WoW.
Okay.
And it's not exactly like Classic, because they're trying to make it as authentic as they can with vanilla WoW, but also integrate the things that people really like with current stuff. So they're like testing it right now. They're trying to get it just right. There was
a whole
big episode with that.
Yeah, they were like, there's so many bugs. I'm like, I think that's Classic WoW for
you. Yeah, that's pretty much Classic WoW.
Like, that bug is a feature now.
It's going to take you 6 months to get to level 40? Yeah.
Right.
Classic WoW.
It was all Druid for early fast travel, Druid for early flight form, the Shamans got the wolf form. So they obviously had the advantage.
The Paladins, I had that boost, that I could do
right?
that made my horse go a little faster.
And of course, if you remember, only
you got the free horse from the paladins and shamans.
Right, only the alliance had paladins and only the horde had shaman way back then. But yeah.
Or you could go into Alterac Valley and 2 days later,
it'd
be over.
Yes, when they actually summoned. Man, remember that?
Yes.
Good grief.
We're like, this is like the, I remember it.
Yeah. Yes, I feel so old.
Crossroads is under attack.
Oh my God, yes.
Good grief.
We had a rock Ironforged both ways.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. We were talking about like those quests that just never ended, like looking for that spider Iker in over in the Alliance area. What the heck was that little town called? I was killing like a million spiders, but the worst one was the gorillas.
Oh, Darkshire, right?
It was killing the gorillas in the Stranglethorn Vale, looking for that sinew.
Oh, yeah.
You better have been a Skinner because you were killing like, it was like genocide down there, like just dead gorillas everywhere.
So I have a very vivid memory in Stranglethorn, right outside the arena, right before you get to Booty Bay.
Right.
Mark and I, we were Alliance, and we're walking down. We're like, do-do-do-do-do. And somebody walks up to me and says, hey, can you give me kings? You know, give me a buff. I'm like, oh, that's weird.
Right.
And then he says to Mark, who's a little gnome warlock, and says, can you give me underwater breathing? And we're like, what? And we do it. And his buddy comes out. Because when we buffed him, we got flagged PvP, and then his horde buddy came out and killed us. That was so pissed.
Oh my God.
That was cheap. Dang. But
that is a memory locked in my head forever. That I remember what I buffed him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just remember being so mad. Yep. I'm so mad.
Yep.
Like, I wasn't hurting anybody.
Well, I remember with my very first character, you also had to like pay for portals for mages because mages made money for their portals.
Absolutely.
So, and they charged like a bunch. And I remember me and my son running around trying to get one gold so we could pay a mage to portal us somewhere. And
right.
Now I'm thinking, damn, that's wow. That was a scam.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, plus, if you remember when you were doing, like, Blackrock Spires, you had to pay people to bring their key to unlock it.
Right.
Because that was a whole quest to actually get the key. And obviously, once you do it, you're so proud of it. You're like, you did it. I've got the key.
Well, and so do you remember when there was Dire Maul and there was Dead Mines and people would be like, I'm looking for people for DM, and people would yell on General, are you looking for Dire Maul or is it, are you got to say VC for Van Cleef for
Dead Mines,
you know, and they would yell about it. That was crazy.
So my kids are crying. Yeah. You got to wrap the show up. Stephanie, tell them how they're going to get a hold of us.
You can yell. You can yell if you want. But email's better. You can send us an email to ladiesofleet@gmail.com, or you can go over to the website ladiesofleet.com, click on the little fly out on the side, and leave us a voicemail message. You can find us all on Twitter. There's a Ladies of Leet Twitter account. Nicole is Nicole Spag. Kim is just Kimmy Ann with two M's and two N's. And myself is XIAXIA1.
All right, so I'm done muting myself. My kid is still crying. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. And we will talk with you soon.
All right.
Bye. Bye. Oh, I got to play the clip. I'll play the clip.
There must be some way we can talk to the robots. Maybe some of these dead robots aren't all the way dead. Maybe we can turn one of them back on.
Don't turn any robots on. Roger, this isn't some philosophical hypothesis to wank on. This is an actual f***ing situation.
You really have a very great contempt for me, don't you, James?
No, puppy, I...
You think all my theories are bollocks?
Not all of them.